Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Chaf Aleph. Chapter 21 opens with Yehoshaphat's death and his son Yehoram's ascension to the throne. Vayishkav Yehoshaphat im avotav, v'yikaver im avotav b'ir David, v'yimloch Yehoram b'no tachtav. Yehoshaphat rested with his ancestors and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. His son Yehoram succeeded him as king. In verses 2-3 we read, V'lo achim b'nei Yehoshaphat, Azariah, v'yichiel, u'zechariyahu, v'azariyahu, u'michael, u'shvatayahu, kol elu b'nei Yehoshaphat melech Yisrael. He had brothers, sons of Yehoshaphat, Azariah, Yechiel, Zechariah, Azariahu, Michal, and Shephatiah. All these were sons of King Yehoshaphat of Israel. Vayitien lehem aviyem matanot rabot l'chesev l'zahav l'migdanot imarei mitzurot b'Yehuda. V'et hamamlecha natan li'Yehoram kihu abachor. Their father gave them many gifts of silver, gold, and other presents, as well as fortified towns in Yehuda. But he gave the kingdom to Yehoram because he was the firstborn. Yehoram's succession needs to be discussed on many levels. What does it mean that Yehoshaphat gave the kingdom Yehoram? Let's start by looking at Melachim Bet, two kings. Ubishnat Chamesh liYoram ben Achav Melch Yisrael, v'Yehoshaphat Melch Yehuda Malach, Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat Melch Yehuda. In the fifth year of King Yoram, son of Achav of Israel, Yehoshaphat had been king of Yehuda. Yehoram, son of King Yehoshaphat of Yehuda, became king. It clearly states that Yehoram was king while his father Yehoshaphat was king. What is going on? Let us look at Seder Olam Rabbah, chapter 17. Ela le'inyan shne'emar, v'yizak Yehoshaphat, ra'ui haya Yehoshaphat lehe'raig be'ota sha'a, ela bischar ze'aka sheza'ak, talalo hakasov zayin shanim, ve'alta machut libno. Rather, with regard to what is stated, and Yehoshaphat cried out, Yehoshaphat truly deserved to be killed at that moment, but in the merit of the cry he cried out, Scripture granted him a reprieve of 7 years. During that time, the kingship was passed on to his son. According to Chazal, the sages, Yehoshaphat should have died for aligning himself with Achav when he attacked Aram in Ramoth Gilead. We learned about that war in chapter 18. Because Yehoshaphat cried out to Hashem at that time, Hashem spared him. As a reward for that cry, Hashem granted him an extra 7 years of life. This was not just a personal extension, it affected royal succession. Even though Yehoshaphat was still alive and ruling, the kingdom was already considered destined for his son Yehoram. Tanakh sometimes counts the years as if Yehoram's reign has begun, even though Yehoshaphat is still alive. This is a form of co-regency accounting common in Tanakh. We see reference to this in verse 4. Vayakam Yehoram al mamlechet aviv, v'yitchazek, v'yaharog et kol echav v'cherev, v'gam misarei Yisrael. Yehoram proceeded to take firm hold of his father's kingdom and put to the sword all of his brothers, as well as some of the officers of Israel. Note the language, that Yehoram took control of his father's kingdom. Yehoram became king during his father's lifetime, and it is father's kingdom which he took over. Now we need to ask, why would Yehoshaphat choose Yehoram as his successor? He killed his brothers. The Talmud in Ketubot teaches that the mere fact that Yehoram was the firstborn would not in itself have been sufficient to entitle him to the kingship. It also required that he be a worthy successor to his father in both wisdom and fear of God. That's a problem. Yehoram was totally not an equal to his father in these areas. The Tosfot Yeshanim suggested, Afal pisha rashahu shema ba'ota shahave tzaddik. Maybe at that time that Yehoshaphat chose him as his successor, he was righteous. Seder Olam Rabba suggests that Kevan shemet Yehoshaphat amad Yehoram v'harag et achav v'cherev. Yehoram only murdered his brothers after his father died, and only then was he wicked. Rabbi Moshe Eisenman suggests another possibility. Maybe he outwardly appeared to behave in an exemplary fashion, but only after he came to power did his true character reveal itself. Why did Yehoram murder his brothers? There is no explicit reason given in the text. Mitzuda David assumes that Laval Yehu Me'arim Alam Lucha. He killed them in order to squash any possible rebellion. Malbum suggests, V'az ra'abinem ezim erida, v'yesh lamar sh'ratzu limcho piyado al sholeich baderech bedachav. That there was some rebellion of some sort, and possibly they protested against him for following in the ways of the house of Achav. If we jump ahead for a minute to verse 6, we will read about Yehoram, Vayelech b'derech malcha Yisrael ka'asher asu beit Achav, ki bat Achav hayta lo isha, vayas hara b'nei Hashem. He followed the practices of the kings of Israel, doing what the house of Achav had done, for he married a daughter of Achav, and he did what was displeasing to God. Ultimately, Yehoram killed his brothers so that they would not challenge him and pose a threat to his rule. Yehoram murdering his brothers is omitted in the parallel version in Melachim Bet. Maybe it is only significant in the Divrei HaYamim account because it constitutes the first step in the systematic wiping out of the Davidic line of succession, which is one of the major themes of our Sefer. We'll learn more about it in chapter 22. We discussed Yehoshaphat's decision to marry his son Yehoram, the crown prince, to Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Izebel in chapter 18. We see here that it results in an unmitigated disaster. Yehoram winds up being a wicked king who follows in the ways of his wife and in-laws. That is another interesting point to note. In the introductory verses about Yehoram, there is a big omission. In the case of every other king, with the exception only of Ahaz, the mother's name is usually given. Why are we not told about Yehoram's mother? In chapter 18, we noted that according to the Midrash, Yehoshaphat married the daughter of the evil king Omri, Ahav's father. There is very little written about it in Tanakh. It's not mentioned at all in Melachim, and there's just a veiled reference in Divrei HaYamim. Maybe it is because Yehoshaphat's wife might have been a God-fearing person. It's unlikely that the righteous Asa would have chosen any other kind of person for his son. So maybe she wasn't evil and did not have any negative influence on Yehoshaphat. But ultimately, marrying into the northern kingdom had disastrous results. Rabbi Moshe Eisenman suggests that the significance of the marriage lies beneath the surface, and that's why it's not clearly stated in the Psukim. That's why in verse 6, which we discussed, it says that Yehoram was influenced by his wife. There's no mention of his mother because Ezra didn't want to go into the whole topic and discuss the spiritual level of Yehoram's mother, Omri's daughter. We learn in verse 7 that as a result of Yehoram walking in the ways of house of Ahav, that Lo ava Hashem l'hashchit et beit David, l'man habrit asher karat l'David, v'kasher amar latet lo nir ulevanav kol yamim. However, God refrained from destroying the house of David for the sake of the covenant made with David, in accordance with the promise to grant him and his children kingship for all time. The house of David was in great danger, even though the northern kingdom was not, because the kings of Malchut Yehuda had an exalted mission. It was they whose duty it was to guide their people to a national existence of sanctity and goodness and ultimately messianic times. But even though Hashem was not willing to destroy the house of David, they would not escape unscathed. Edom rebelled from beneath Yehuda's control and appointed a king over themselves. Yehoram crossed over with his commanders and all his chariots with him to fight the Edomites. He rose at night and smote Edom. Although Yehoram had killed some of the Edomites and escaped from the battle unharmed, he was not victorious and did not manage to conquer their land and subdue them. Edom rebelled from under the land of Yehuda to this day. Yehuda lost control over the Edomites, who became its enemies. The tax payment stopped, and Yehuda's security was undermined. Then, when Yehoram was weakened, the city of Livna, which lay on the border of Edom, joined forces with Edom and broke away from Yehoram's rule. The people of Livna were loyal to Hashem and his Torah, and they would not tolerate Yehoram's deviations. Not only was Edom no longer subjugated by Israel, it even managed to make inroads into Hashem's own people and encourage them to break away from Yehoram's rule. Verse 11 tells us more of Yehoram's evil acts, and then in verses 12 to 15, we read about a letter from Eliyahu HaNavi, who informs Yehoram of the terrible fate awaiting him as a punishment for his sins. The letter says, "So said the Lord God of David your father, because you have not followed in the ways of Yehoshaphat your father, and in the ways of Asa, king of Yehuda, your father's father, but you have followed in the ways of the kings of Israel and perverted Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, like the perversion of the house of Ahav, and also you have killed your brothers from your father's house who were better than you. Hine Hashem nogef magaifat gdola ba'amecha ubevanecha ubinashecha ubechor rechoshecha. Therefore, God will inflict a great blow upon your people, your sons and your wives and all your possessions. Va'ata b'chalayim rabim b'machala me'echa ad yitzu me'echa minacholi yamim al yamim. As for you, you will be severely stricken with the disorder of the bowels year after year until your bowels drop out. There's a lot to unpack here. Eliyahu died before Yehoram became king. How is he sending a letter to him? Why is Eliyahu, a Navi, a prophet, whose prophecies centered on the northern kingdom, chosen to be the one who was sent to Yehoram? We see from Asa and Yehoshaphat that Hashem had many prophets who were active in the kingdom of Yehuda. And why a letter? Why didn't Eliyahu come in person? Radak explains that Eliyahu revealed himself to one of the prophets by means of prophetic inspiration. He then placed the content of the letter in the prophet's mouth, and he instructed him to write it down in the form of a letter, bring it to Yehoram, and tell him that Eliyahu is sending him this letter, so that Yehoram would think it came from him from the heavens and would humble himself with the knowledge that he had done a terrible evil. As we have seen, Yehoram was acting like a king from Ahab's house, and so it makes sense that the prophet who was Ahab's arch-rival bring the message of the destruction which threatened the Davidic line. But it could have been Elisha, a prophet already, and Eliyahu's successor in the northern kingdom. We find our answer in the Rambam in Mishnah Torah. Yesh min hachamim she'omrim shekodem biyat ha-mashiach yavo Eliyahu. There are some sages who say that Eliyahu's coming will precede the coming of the Mashiach. He is the symbol of Israel's eternity and the harbinger of the Messiah. It was he alone who would be able to bring home the truth of what Yehoram's sins had accomplished. The messianic future of Israel was in jeopardy. Then Hashem stirred against Yehoram the spirit of the Philistines. Once the Edomites cast off the yoke of the kingdom of Yehuda, the Philistines also felt confident enough to open a front against them. And Hashem also stirred up the spirit of the Arabians who were near the Cushites. They went up against Yehuda and breached the borders and the walls and captured all the property that was found in the house of the king, as well as sons and his wives who were killed. No son remained for him except Yehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. After this, Hashem afflicted Yehoram in his bowels with an incurable disease. He was not even able to find temporary relief. The verse is pretty specific about the disease that Yehoram suffered. What's the significance of that? The answer may be found in the Talmud in Shabbos 11a. The Amar Rava Bar Machasya Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav Kol Choli V'lo Choli Me'ayim. And Rava Bar Mahasya said that Rav Chama Bar Gurya said that Rav said, it is preferable to suffer from any extended illness and not from an intestinal illness. Hashem clearly chose the most terrible of all sicknesses for Yehoram. It was after a year and the next, at the conclusion of 2 years of his disease, that his bowels fell out with his illness and he died in dire illness. His people did not bestow great honor upon him in his death. The last verse of the chapter informs us that he was 32 years old when he became king, and 8 years he reigned in Jerusalem. He departed joyless. They did not treat his remains with contempt as they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the graves of the kings either. They did not see fit to bury him together with the rest of the kings of the house of David. Unfortunately, our chapter ends on a tragic note. We can only imagine the hope which the young 30-year-old son of the beloved Yehoshaphat must have instilled in the people when his father made him king. He had 8 years in which these hopes could have been translated into a reign characterized by righteousness and devoted to the welfare of the people. All this potential is squandered in a life of wickedness. This shir is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.